is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague, and we turn to Wuhan, the large city still remembered vividly as the center of the beginning of the COVID-19 virus. We welcome Bill Gertz, national security correspondent for the Washington Times, author most recently of Deceiving the Sky, Inside Communist China's Drive for Global Supremacy. Bill, welcome. This is an update, sort of a report along the way of the virus and its origins. My understanding from your presentation in the Washington Times is that there is still no certainty of the origins of the virus, that the Chinese Communist Party remains uncooperative in a thorough investigation of the origins, such as interviewing people who were present at the time, or more indication of other activities at that moment, communications, that sort of thing, the kind of thing that would happen if there was a plane crash in the United States. You'd want to know everything about the events prior to the discovery. Moreover, my understanding from your presentation is that the U.S. government, through its various award boards and grant makers, continues to have some not entirely clear relationship with virus research in China. Can you mention right now what we've learned and what has changed, if anything, about the connection between the U.S. government and the Wuhan virus lab? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on. This was my weekly Inside the Ring column in the Washington Times, where I talked about a Government Accountability Office report, GAO, which is Congress's watchdog. And they produced a recent report at the request of Representative Michael McCaul, who could emerge as one of the senior leaders if control of the House changes after the November election. But this report said that the Pentagon, Centers for Disease Control, and the National Institutes of Health supplied $28.9 million to Chinese universities and research centers. And this was like the first time the government has really come clean about the kind of past work it was done. That effort was carried out between 2015 and 2021. And I think the Trump administration was the first to cut it off. But yet it reveals that they were engaged in work that included the pathogenicity of emerging and reemerging in novel viruses. So this is exactly the kind of work that many in the intelligence community suspect was the basis for the COVID-19 virus. Now, the other theory is that it came from a wild animal market in Wuhan. But the Chinese have still, to this day, have not revealed what they know and about the secret virus work that was taking place at this Wuhan Institute of Virology, which, by the way, the GAO said that they couldn't determine if sub-awards, that is, subcontractors who received money from the federal government, supplied funding to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is the main suspect in the COVID outbreak.
Gordon, good day to you. Do you have a question for Bill?
Bill, around 2014, the Obama administration declared a moratorium on the use of federal funds for gain-of-function research. And it appears that what happened is that the NIH and other American institutions just merely outsourced this to Chinese labs, some of them which may have been involved in biological weapons research. Is this something that people in the federal government feel was a workaround, or was this not covered by the moratorium?
Yes, I think it was definitely a circumvention of that moratorium. Gain of function research is special genetic research, which is designed in this case to make viruses more infectable to humans. And they were doing that. We know from studies that were published in medical journals that the EcoHealth Alliance and Peter Daszak, its president, and Xi Zhangli, the Batwoman of Wuhan, were engaged in this gain-of-function research. And the point was making it more infectable to humans for whatever reasons they have refused to say so far. It was obvious it could be used for making a vaccine, or it could be used for biological weapons. And we know from research that's been done inside the intelligence community that China has been working on biological weapons, and from a fact sheet that was released from the State Department in January of 2021, which reveals that they were doing military biological experiments at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And here in this column that I had this last week was that just this month, additional funds, some $650,000, were spent from the federal government to EcoHealth Alliance for a bat coronavirus research, not in China, but in neighboring countries. Now, whether there's oversight of EcoHealth Alliance and they could be doing it, like I say, under the table, is a real serious question. And there should be no funding whatsoever from any U.S. government agency to China until China reveals what it knows about its secret bat coronavirus research.
It strikes me, Bill, in your most recent measure on the eve of the 20th Party Congress, that there's a deal of information we lack about the conduct of China over these last years, the aggression we know about because it happens internationally. But we don't know about China's interference in research and private enterprise, sometimes called spying. We don't have a thorough accounting of how the U.S. government regards China as an adversary, sometimes a trading partner, sometimes a dialogue between Washington and Beijing. And your research about what hasn't changed since the original virus also underlines the fact that the U.S. government remains, is it ambiguous? Is that an adequate word, Bill? Ambiguous towards whether China is a threat or not?
I would say conflicted. You know, for 40 years, we had basically an unfettered engagement policy, which was based on this idea, let's just trade with Beijing and it will automatically become a normal, non-threatening nation. And it was an utter failure. We're now facing the greatest existential threat to freedom and democracy that we've ever faced. And that policy, again, still has roots. And under the Trump administration, there was a major shift of emphasis to say that it was a threat, although they didn't come out and say it was a threat. They said it was a competitor, which gives you the feeling that this is some kind of sports event. You know, we're competing with China. And the Biden administration has picked up on that. And they're deeply divided inside between radical leftists who want to cooperate with China on climate change and more moderate elements that really recognize that we're in a world of hurt if we don't confront China on its aggressive and nefarious behaviors.
Gordon, you have a question.
Bill, you've highlighted the significance. I mean, we're talking about events in the past, but you've highlighted the significance for the future in your other work, mentioning that Chinese technicians and scientists have been working on what they call specific ethnic genetic attacks. In other words, attacks caused by pathogens that will leave Chinese people immune, but sicken and kill everybody else. It seems to me that's the reason why this is so important right now, to stop this funding and to hold those people accountable for obviously endangering American security when the Chinese have these biological weapons programs that could come up with civilization killers.
Yes. You know, there is information supposedly out there, and I don't know whether this is totally accurate and it hasn't been reported, but I've been looking into it. But recently, the Chinese Communist Party sentenced one of its most senior security officials, a guy named Sun Li Jun. Now, the story that's out there and hasn't been confirmed yet, but has kind of the ring of truth to it, is that Sun Li Jun was sent by Xi Jinping to Wuhan in the early days of the virus outbreak, basically to clean out all of the military and secret biological weapons work that was being done at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And he was just sentenced to life in prison. It was basically a death sentence that was commuted to life in prison. And the charges were ostensibly corruption and financial related. And as a nice touch, they even said that he had two illegal guns, you know, one of the reasons he was given a life sentence. But supposedly he sent a number of documents to his family in Australia. and that the Australian government may have access to it, which is one reason why the Australian government alone has called for a new investigation into the origin of the COVID-19 virus in China. And of course, as soon as that happened, China really went silent on any cooperation with the World Health Organization or international virus investigators into the virus origin. And they shifted tactics and started accusing the United States, falsely claiming that the U.S. military developed the virus and sent it to China. And that's kind of the current state of play in terms of China's official CCP position on the virus origin, which we really still need to understand in order to prevent kind of future outbreaks of different types of viruses.
Bill Gertz, national security correspondent, Washington Times, author of Deceiving the Sky, Inside Communist China's Drive for Global Supremacy. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.